program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we are in the middle, if people didn't know that right now, we are in the middle of an election season, and a very important election as well. So election 2020 is shaping up, and many, they say millions, have already voted by proxy, by sending through the mail, or early voting in some areas. And so what are your thoughts on this voting season as we approach official election day, November 3rd?
Mm-hmm. Well, think about, why should a Christian vote? Why should Christians vote? Because there are millions that do not, and it could make a difference in the outcome had many Christians voted. Where you evaluate, well, what kind of candidates, who would I vote for? Well, this is my point. In our world today, there are those who would choose to eliminate the name and message of Jesus Christ out of the public arena. Voting is our way of promoting and preserving a godly government. I'm saying godly, meaning that which represents the principles of our God who created us. And that means looking at the sanctity of life, the value of each human being. Instead of, there are some governments who are known for gassing millions and millions of people, murder of all kinds. It's like, no, our form of government, we can do whatever we want to just eliminate the people that we do not want. And I'm not talking about in the United States. That's not the way it is here in America. At least it's not been that way since its inception. But voting is our way of promoting and preserving the values I think that are presented in the Bible. Thou shalt not kill. I'm talking about a willful, it's not going to war. It's a different kind of antagonism against another human being. Thou shalt not steal. All kinds of values that are good for society. And because we enjoy the benefits of the liberty, the freedom to proclaim truth, proclaim even the gospel, meaning in churches and other places, we should be actively engaged as good stewards of these liberties by voting for those who support freedom, our freedom, and protect our freedom. We know as Christians that who set the world in orbit, the universe, and we should follow our responsibility to fulfill civic duties. And we see multiple references in Scripture that would encourage us to obey legitimate authority unless that authority is in opposition to God's commands. We should choose leaders who seek God's direction. And there are so many that will tell you. And there are prayerful, dedicated men and women. And I could just name a number of them right now. That's not the point. It's saying, Lord, I do care that we have men and women who value our freedom of for example, the First Amendment to the Constitution. Well, there's religious liberty. You're able to even have, you should be able to vote and express your concern if it's something it goes against your religious values, and there are court cases that where these things come up. Well, we want good judges who would be constitutionalists, who would look at the Constitution and not just go by the whims of what some would say, oh, we ought to eliminate all prayer, all, you know. If you go back to the initiation of our country, the prayers by our leaders, the presidents, all the way, you know, you look at the words of Benjamin Franklin, of people who were not even known to be strong Christians, but they upheld the value of the Bible and had strong words to commend the reading of God's Word. Well, we can vote godly people, I'm not saying perfect people, people who have hearts for God and for truth. And I never will forget, and I've quoted this man, Edmund Burke, all that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. I add good men and women. All that is required for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do nothing. We have an opportunity to contribute. You say, well, I don't know what to do. Listen, there's something called I voter. We'll tell you about it when we return.
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
Listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get to our caller in a moment. If you have questions about these topics or any number of topics that we cover here, you have an opportunity to address over 100 keys for living to talk about those topics that are of importance to you. Give us a call at 800-488-HOPE, and we'll help you access the appropriate resources. As June was talking about voting, we'd like to point out some resources for you as well. Hope you have a pen ready. It is myfaithvotes.org, myfaithvotes.org. Also, iVoter Guide, the letter I, voterguide.com. Both of those will let you take a look at the issues, and as the homepage at iVoterGuide says grounded in God, rooted in research. And you can get sample ballots, voting information at both of those places. Also like to point out to you a good resource, just in general, as we talk about the elections, the page on the Hope for the Heart website. It is hopefortheheart.org. Just scroll down a little bit there on the homepage, and you'll find 10 biblical truths to remember during an election. The first is very important. The God rules over everything. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. That's at hopefortheheart.org, and it's 10 biblical truths to remember during an election. All of those are wonderful resources for you to take a look at. And so you can check out the website for other features as well. We want you to go to hopefortheheart.org/store while you're there and find the new updated Keys for Living, the Lifeline to Hope online training, and also June's biblical resources, all again at hopefortheheart.org/store. Well, let's get to our caller for tonight and listening on WITK in New York. Tonight we have Alfonso.
Well, hello, Alfonso. Welcome to Hope.
How are you, June? God bless your heart.
Well, thank you. Aren't you thoughtful? And God bless your heart. How can we help you?
Yeah, I'm fighting with a lot of demons, you know, because Scripture teaches we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but the principalities and rulers of high places. And it seems like ever since I stepped away from church a few years ago, I've been faced with a lot of demons because, like, I had a lot of bad experience in churches. Like, you know, the pastor saying ill, speaking ill things of me on the pulpit. And I don't go to church for spiritual abuse, but I go to church for healing.
Yes.
Since I stepped away from church, I've been tested a lot. And through my prayer, I've been fighting to prayer, but I noticed the devil assigned certain people to me, even family members, and they try to hurt me with words, because words hurt attitudes. And but I know I stay prayed up to fight it off with my prayer. But it didn't have come to my mind and telling me that I might want to kill somebody, and I know that's off the devil, because that's not me taking anybody's life. But those are the things I've been faced with. You're calling me words like a faggot. I'm not a faggot. There's not a gay bone in my body. And I don't have anything against homosexuals, but that's just not my purpose. You know, those words bother me. And when a family member say those things to me, I start thinking different. And then I say to myself, I can't do that, because if I take this person's life, I'm not a man of God, because I still consider myself a man of God. I don't be in church no more, but I stay prayed up, and I still have my Bibles. I'm not in the Scriptures as I should be, but I still know that I belong to the Lord, because he said, you'll never leave me or forsake me.
Yes.
I know that he's married to me. I have a personal relationship with the Lord. And so that was my reason for calling you, because I have been listening to you for years now, and I always wanted to go live with you. And I thank God that he gave me this chance to go live with you, because I know there's people out there that's hurting that. And they can listen to my testimony, and God can use my testimony for them to be glory, and all the glory go to the Lord, not to me. So that's why I want to speak to you, because I truly don't want to kill anybody, but that's how I've been feeling lately. And I know that the devil is a liar, because the devil comes to kill, lie, and destroy. And he's God's children, like believers. And I know as a believer, as me being away from the flock, I can only be attacked, because I don't have a place where I can assembly and fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. You know? And so I'm going to always constantly be attacked. Even my brothers and sisters in Christ that have places to fellowship, they'd be under attack too. And the only way I can fight it is to reach out to my brothers and sisters like you and speak about it. And because the Lord said, was two or three are gathered, I'm always in the midst. And this is how I fight. I fight the prayer with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I fight the prayer alone, because the devil is a liar. I've been through a lot in my life, and I thank God, because I battle with the devil. Tried to do so many things to bring me down. He used me like colitis. I got colitis. That's like, I don't know if you know anything about Crohn's disease. Colitis is like from the lower intestines down, and it has all kind of effects. But with mine was like, I had like parts of milk leaking from my rectum. And
yes.
You would think I was having a menstruation. That's how much stuff leaked from me, and the smell was it just smelled worse than a dead corpse. You know, I've been sprayed on trains. People have sprayed stuff on me. I've been on jobs and people have sprayed stuff at me. I had family members say, nieces or Uncle Stinky is here. So, and it bothered me because I was going to commit suicide because I used to go to a beautiful church in Brooklyn called Brooklyn Tabernacle.
Oh, yes, I know it well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I used to pass the similar. It's a beautiful, beautiful man, by the way. And I would go there, and I loved to go there. But every time I would sit down because of the colitis, and it would leave, have such a bad odor, and I would be dressed very nice and very decently clean, and put the odor, and people would make fun of me, even in church, like, oh, don't sit there, you're sitting by the stink person, and all that. So I said to myself, what do I got to do to stay close to God? All I want to do is stay close to my Lord. All I want to do is worship God. And I, every church I would be, oh, this guy smells, this guy, and I was like, what? Where's the passion? Where's the compassion? This is how, not how it's supposed to be. But they never knew what was wrong with me. They didn't know I had a disease that I couldn't control, and I didn't even know what I had until I had a colonoscopy. And when I had a colonoscopy, the doctor told me, he said, well, you have ultra-configurated colitis. And he said, and I'm sorry, you have. I asked him, how did I get this? And he said, well, it's a hereditary. And I told the doctor, I think I might want to kill myself. I said, because everywhere I go, people make fun of me. I said, even in church. And he said, you go to church and they do that? I said, yeah. I said, the churches, they make fun of me. Call me stink because they spray stuff. And I said, it's taking a toll on me. I want to kill myself. But by the grace of God, I found a place called the Bowery Mission. It's in Manhattan. And it's a Christian program. And not a shelter, it's a Christian program, but they take people in there that if you was on drugs or you going through whatever your issues is, they take you in there. And it's a Bible based. It's Bible based. Everything is Bible, Bible, Bible. And they give you a Bible. That's when I got my first Bible, and I still got it right here in front of me now. And give you a Bible, and that's when I got introduced to the Lord. And that's when I got strong. And that's when they require you to go out and find a church. But when I went out to find a church, it seemed like that's when my biggest test was coming because of this colitis. And I thank God now that one of the doctors, when I had the colonoscopy, told me to go on the fiber diet. And since I've been on that fiber diet, like I haven't had any many flare-ups. And I haven't been smelling like that. So the Lord did answer my prayers because I would read my scripture. And this is all, this what kept me going, the scripture right here, with Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your future. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. And in so many ways, I believe that scripture says a lot about me because I went through so much at that time. I was homeless. I went to the shelter. I was at my worst. I was at my bottom. And I kept saying to myself, don't kill yourself. Don't kill yourself. Whatever you do, don't kill yourself. This scripture right here kept me from killing myself.
Alfonso, I want to say something. I think it is tremendous that you know the depths of despair. You know what it's like to want to give up, meaning to give up and kill yourself, to take your own life, because it's not that you actually want to kill yourself. You just want the pain to stop. You don't want all this pain that you've been experiencing of rejection, the hurt. And so many people are there right now or have been there or will be there. So what I would say is that scripture that you just quoted is my favorite scripture for those who have literally given up on life, or that they are suicidal. Because you're right. It says, and this is actually God speaking, it's the Lord who created you, who says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And so you're right. We don't even have to know the plan. But just like you've already seen, aha, okay, here's a serious disease. Now here's a solution for that. And you've experienced that that's taken care of a lot of the difficulties. But I'm interested in one thing you said that's important. And that is, you said you've been fighting with a lot of demons. You stepped away from church. And then you talked about people who have, I'm going to say, hurt you, attacked you, like attacking your character.
My character, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and so what I hear is, okay, now consider what is normal. You have a problem, you want to get rid of the problem. That's the way many people think about people, like killing people. Here's a problem. These people are a problem. I'm going to help society, or I will help God, or I will take care of the problem, and I want to eliminate them. It's said many different ways. The only problem is, you and I know that the Bible, which is absolute truth, it's written by God himself as the author, using human beings as scribes. He chose what he wanted to be in the Bible. That's why it's called God's Word, or the Word of God. And so what we know, you and I know from the Bible, is no, we must not kill people. So even though at times it can even be logical to this person over here, no, this person needs to be dead. Well, we know that we are not to help them be dead. They'll die when it's God's time. But what we want to do is figure out, okay, what do we do when we have desires that are in conflict with God's Word? Because I appreciate you were honest. You said, I'm fighting with a lot of demons. You said, basically, you said, at times I want to kill myself, but you know that's wrong. But you said, when people attack me, I feel I want to kill them. Okay, we're going to talk about that, because a lot of our feelings are not based on God's fact.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God himself, and he's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-9008. 4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you are listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, and we're here because of your prayers and continued support, and we thank you for that. Our care teams are ready to take your calls now at 800-488-HOPE. They can help guide you to God's hope through our resources. And the number again, 800-488-4673. Let me recommend to you the Keys for Living called Violence, Understanding It and Stopping It. Also, Suicide Prevention, Hope When Life Seems Hopeless. And again, the number is 800-488-HOPE. Now, if you would like to speak with June about a specific situation in your life and do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Just call and follow the prompts and leave us a detailed message, and we'll get back to you to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation now with Alfonso.
Well, Alfonso, thank you for being candid, for getting really to the heart of the matter, because there is a natural instinct that we human beings have if we are attacked, and that is to defend ourselves. Self-defense, right? You would agree with that, won't you? Okay.
Yes.
So when people physically attack you, your physical body typically will either, it's fight or flight. It's a fear response. So you either fight or flight. There's also what is called freeze. But the point is, when you're being verbally attacked, when someone's belittling you, and sometimes that is so hard because it's called verbal abuse. And we can be victims of verbal and emotional abuse. But this is where many, many people make the mistake of engaging in a physical violent act. And you were candid with me. You said, when people attack me, and it sounds like your character, you mentioned your integrity. When people attack me, I feel like I want to kill them. Now,
so we
think about, okay, that, and by the way, at one time, I actually had a plan to kill my father. But it was logical to me, because I thought, he's causing so much pain. I was 14, and I was serious. I didn't tell anyone except one person, my mom, and I was asking permission. She said no. She said that won't be necessary, but I thought I was doing something good. I mean, you know, I wasn't a Christian at the time, but nevertheless, I think people can rationalize and say, well, but if these people are bad and they hurt people, I can help the situation out. And I know that that can sound unusual to people who've never been there, but I can't help it. I just remember the thought pattern, and I had a plan. So my point is, what we know, I think you and I know, that the Bible is very clear about violence. In fact, I'll just say it this way. There's not one time in the Bible where violence is ever spoken of positively. In other words, violence, if we look at it as exerting excessive force to cause injury or to intimidate another person to fear being injured or to kill them. Violence is always wrong in the Bible. And the very first act of violence in the Bible involves an angry man named Cain, who murders his unsuspecting brother, Abel. And, you know, what it was is there was a conflict between these two family members. Well, you understand conflict between family members. And his solution was something that is not blessed by God. He was angry. His face was downcast. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" Now, God knew, but sometimes he helps us get words out. And, you know, but he said, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted?" This is God speaking. "But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." That's Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. So what I'm saying to you is, number one, I'm proud of you for being able to verbalize the pain of being attacked and people who don't understand, people who have rejected you. And you said, "When people attack me, I feel like I want to kill them." And you added a "but."
And Mark, you know, excuse me for cutting you off, but my when I added that "but," it's a scripture that come to my mind, and I can't quite put my mind on the scripture right now. But it says, "When I'm at my weakest, that's when I'm my strong. That's when I'm at my strongest."
Yeah, that's the Apostle Paul speaking, and it was a very unusual passage because a lot of people think, what do you mean, when I am weak, then I'm strong? What Paul is actually saying here is, at times, we can not only be unable to do something, we don't have it in our strength to do it. Well, this is where Paul says, "When I am weak, then it," he's saying, "I am strong," but he's saying, "It is Christ's strength that takes over."
Right, and that's what happens with me, because as a believer, I know I get all of my strength through the Lord, because he said, if I be for you, who could be against me?
Mm-hmm. Good, good. Well, this passage in 2 Corinthians, in fact, 2 Corinthians is one of my favorite books of the Bible. There is so much meat here for practical living, And the beauty is you have been given a Bible, and you are learning that there are certain scriptures that are especially important. Like, for example, one of the things that you could do, and I really will suggest this for you to write down the 10 most important scriptures, and every day that you know about right now. Now, you can add more later, but for you to literally write down the passages that you think are going to help you the most. In fact, one of my most favorite scriptures is in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9, which says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Well, my friend, I think that is describing what God is doing in you. He is enabling you to realize, yes, at times you're going to be hard-pressed. And candidly, there are times I've been very hard-pressed. But I've had to learn, but we're not crushed. We can be perplexed. Why is somebody doing this? Why, you know, it makes no sense and I've been attacked fairly recently even, and yet, and I couldn't understand why, but then it says, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Now that's, again, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. And I'm just going to add this. It goes on to say, we always carry around in our body, and see, when you prayed and received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says, Alfonso, the Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So literally, he resides in you. And so the Bible says we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And I think the point here is, more and more, when you, as you continue to have victory, because you said, I just feel like there are a lot of, you know, like you said, I'm fighting with a lot of demons. The demons are wanting to destroy you. Satan is the head of the demonic force, and there were angels that chose to go against God, and these fallen angels, one-third of the angelic beings, followed Satan. And as such, there are the demons, the demonic forces that can play havoc with us as believers. Now, a lot of people have never studied this, and I remember when I first learned about this, I thought, I've never been told this. Well, I wasn't in a biblically based church either. But what I learned is there are times we can have feelings. I feel this, and God gives us the ability to have feelings, but we have to make sure that those are tamed to literally be harnessed into what will be godly. In other words, yes, you were attacked by a number of people, and you said, I feel I want to kill them. Then you added the but you know this is not right in God's sight. So feelings, you know, yeah. A lot of people, by the way, live their lives based on feelings. In fact, they'll let their feelings dictate. It's kind of like letting the tail wag the dog. Now, that's too light of an illustration. But it's not, you know, the Bible says the truth sets us free. It's Jesus who said, the truth sets you free. So we've got to go with, what does God say is true? And that means there's another scripture which says we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So, yes, you can have the feelings, but we've got to live by fact. We've got to live by truth. And the truth is, all that's going to do, if you let your life be run by your feelings, it is not going to go well with you. It's truth. Truth stands the test of time, and Jesus is called the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So I want you to be thinking about making that list of 10 scriptures, highly, highly important scriptures that you would read every day. By the way, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 is the scripture you were talking about.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common: a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. One way we do that is by our Keys for Living. If you have questions or concerns about any topic that we raise here, you feel free to call us at our care center at 800-488-HOPE. Those keys for living we would recommend for tonight would be violence, understanding it, and stopping it. Also, suicide prevention, hope when life seems hopeless. They can help you access the appropriate resources for you. The number again is 800-488-4673. You may also email us at customercare@hopefortheheart.org with any questions you might have regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. So let's return to our caller for tonight and continue the conversation with Alfonso.
All right. June, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
According to the scriptures, Romans 12:9.
Okay.
This is what the scriptures I say this because I hate people who do wrong things or who wrong others, and whether it's verbally or physically, I hate that. And the scripture says here, Romans 12:9, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good.
Mm-hmm.
So I hold on to hateful things a lot. I hate people who verbally abuse people, who try to destroy people's character. I hate that. And the scripture says hate it, but hold on tightly to what is good. I love to hold on to tightly what is good. Now, none of us is perfect, but if you stand for righteousness, you stand for good. Because God is
love. This is a really important scripture. I'm glad you brought it up. In this passage, Romans 12, verse 9, love must be sincere, hate what is evil. It doesn't say who is evil. Notice it doesn't say who. It's not the person. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now, let me mention this word love. To read that passage in my version, it says love must be sincere.
Mine's be different.
Right. So love is not this ooey-gooey Valentine's chocolates and hearts. Love, now, there is that in our English, but the context of this kind of love, it's a particular Greek word, agape, and it means seeking the other person's highest good, no matter what. It's one way. It's not reciprocal. If I love my enemy, by the way, the Bible says, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. If I love my enemy, which that was a big, that was a huge thing when I read that, I thought, that's impossible. Nobody can do that. Meaning it was so huge, it just wasn't even in the realm of possibility. But see, I didn't know. I was ignorant. I didn't know that there was this other kind of love, the highest form of love, agape love, which is seeking what is best in behalf of another person. What that means is you don't hate them. You look at that other person and you know there's a deficit. There's something wrong. If they're going to be evil, doing evil things, if they're putting you down, putting other people down, hurting other people, let me tell you what I've learned to do. And I'm just going to tell you the number one thing. And that is, it's not my idea. In Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. This is what has protected me from being vengeful. Pray for those who persecute you, me. And that means those who've attacked you. People who attack, there's something wrong with their hearts. Don't you agree?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So when people have changed lives through Christ, more and more, they sin less and less. More and more, they become Christ-like.
Right.
And they lose that vengeance themselves, that I'm going to be mean, I want to, you know, it literally transforms people. And as time goes on, it's not that they are sinless, but they sin less and less and less. So this is what I'm going to challenge you to do. You already know, because you've already, now I don't know, but you know who the people are that, and you were honest with me. Thank you. You were candid. You said, when people attack me, I want to kill them. You know who they are right now.
Yes, sir.
I bet you could mention them by name, and I could write those down. This is what I want you to do. Instead of you mentioning the names to me, I want you to write down those names of the people who have attacked you, and as a result, you feel like you want to kill them. But the best part of what you've told me is that you have experienced a changed life through Christ. Is that right?
Right.
So therefore, you know the change that he has been doing in you. They need that. So I want you to pray, like I'm going to put a name, I'm going to say John. Okay, John said this, and write down what they did. And then, but you know, people who are attackers, people who are cruel, the number one thing they need is a changed life through Christ. And so for you to say, okay, I'm willing it could be every evening to pray for John. And let's say the second person is Charlie. I'm just making up these names. Charlie. And then you've got this woman here, whoever she is. But, you know, and just make the list. And then say, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see what happens if I every day pray for the people that I would want to kill. Have you ever heard the phrase, kill them with kindness?
Yes.
Well, in a way, that's very, very light compared to what you've experienced. But what I'm saying is, genuinely, the kindest thing you could do would be to pray that they will have a changed life through Christ. And then after, you know, like when you've been doing this for 3 months, you're going to be amazed at how you feel. See, he'll transform your feelings because they will be followers of truth. In other words, when God created you, my friend, he created you with everybody else, mind, will, and emotions. That's the soul part of you. You got a body and you've got a spirit, a human spirit, but in you is also this soul. What is a soul? It's the mind, the emotions, and the will. The mind, the will, and the emotions. What we are told by the Lord Jesus, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it starts with the mind, and you're going to say, okay, when I have those feelings that I want to kill, I renounce that thought. And if there's a demon involved, just say, I've been bought with the price. It's Jesus Christ. I don't belong to anyone else but the Lord Jesus Christ. And I command that that demon leave me alone in the name of Jesus. And I am going to pray for the people who've hurt me, the people who've attacked me. And you've written down their names, and every evening, you can do it in the morning, you can do it 3 times a day, but just have that list of the people who've hurt you the most that you've wanted to kill. And you say, you know, what I want to kill is that instead of killing them, I want to kill the evil that they need to have gone from their lives. I want them to have a new life through Christ. Because they'll change. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who have killed people. And it's amazing when there's a changed life through Christ. So what I'm going to ask is, would you be willing to make that list of who has hurt you so much? Those who it got to the point where you actually wanted to kill them. Would you be willing to make a list? Like, how many people are on that list, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, do we have an agreement? Would you be willing to make that list?
Yes, I'll be willing to make that list because I stand for righteousness, you know, and I have the Spirit of God in me, you know, so. And like I want to do His will. I always say to myself, Lord, let Thy will be done, not my will.
Ooh,
so
that's
I want to do the will of God.
You're quoting Jesus, because he wanted that cup of suffering to pass from him, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He was talking to his heavenly Father. There's God the Father, God the Son. He's God who took on human form, and he went through the most atrocious kind of death, but he paid the price with his death on the cross for you, my friend, so that when you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, He forgave all your sin, past, present, and future. All your sin. Well, this is what these people who have hurt you so much over the years, they have hurt you. And the one thing they need is that changed life through Christ. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to write the name down. I'm going to ask you to write who has hurt you. What have they done? What have they caused in your life? And then for you to say, Lord, just as you change me inside out, I pray that one day they will have this, that John will have a changed life, that Charlie will have a changed life, that my brother will have a changed life, my sister-in-law will have a change. I mean, just go down and just every night pray from your heart. And what you'll find is, just as Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. You're going to look for something that could benefit them, but know that you don't have the ability to change them. Yeah, you could kill them, but instead, they need a changed life through Christ. I know you can do this, and I'm so proud of you. You continue to hang on to hope.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We have Keys for Living called Violence, Understanding It and Stopping It. And we can send those out free of charge because of your support of our ministry. We thank you for your participation in that. You might be also interested in the Keys for Living called Suicide Prevention, Hope When Life Seems Hopeless. And our Hope Care representatives are ready to take your calls for those resources at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and that's a free download for you. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.